From Bravery Media, this is Appendix B. On today's episode, No More Unicorns. Here's Kristen Van Dorn and Joel Goodman.
So, Joel, tell me what you think about unicorns in higher education.
So I was the unicorn, and the thing that really was awful was how much money I got paid for doing that kind of work, right? Because I was putting in at least 50 hours a week at my main job because of my unicorn status, but I wasn't getting paid the money of someone that was a developer and a designer and a writer and QA and usability and like all of that stuff. So I don't like the idea of unicorns because I don't think they're generally very helpful, especially in higher ed. But I also think they are rare, right? I mean, that's the whole point of the mythical creature. They don't exist, but they're rare. If they existed, they're meant to be very, very rare.
Okay, so let's back up for a second and define what we're calling a unicorn, just in case people are not used to like spelling out what unicorn is. So, you know, in my mind, it's that Jack or Jill of all trades, master of none, but it's the person that comes in and can do all of your digital strategy. And therefore, you only need to rely on one person. And hopefully they never go on vacation or need a medical leave. Anyway, go on. What would you say? What would you add?
No, I think that's exactly it. And I think the nuance is that as a generalist, they're not just mediocre at everything. It's not they can do everything. Like they're good at all of the things. They may have a couple that they're very good at. I wouldn't say that they, you run up against the edges of what is humanly possible when you're that good at a lot of different things. And so, you know, when we think about how marketing offices in higher ed work right now, like they're not good at everything that they do because they're stretched so thin. And that's what happens to these unicorn employees as well. It's just kind of like amplified. But I think there's a chance that when you talk about generalists or Jacks and Jills of all trades, you kind of think like, oh, well, they can do stuff. They know a little bit about a lot of things. So unicorns are people that know a lot about a lot of things and can execute to a high standard on the majority of those things. And that's the only reason why it sort of works for a while.
Yeah. So when I think about unicorns, I often think about the drawbacks. And, you know, full disclosure, I would probably say I was a unicorn at one point in my career, or at least I advertised myself to be so. And I think when I think of the drawbacks for unicorns, it's often that, one, they get better jobs. You know, eventually they just move because they need to. They have skill sets that set them apart from other applicants and they're highly desirable. So they're not something that you can rely on forever, that they'll just stay in the same department role. But having that broad of a skill set, you know, comes from a lot of experience, comes probably from overwork. So they're prone to burnout. Because in order to gain all that expertise in various areas, I mean, you have to push yourself towards the point of burnout. And then on top of it, maintaining all those skill sets as those skill sets are evolving takes a lot of self-discipline and work. And it's not humanly possible to maintain all of those at the pace that people are expected to run.
And I definitely ran into that where I mean, I, as someone that still knows a lot about a lot of things and can do a lot of things at a very high level, there are definitely gaps, or those areas of proficiency have changed and ebbed and flowed over the years, right? So when I was working on web projects at a university, getting to the point where, oh, web standards are moving so fast, and I have all of this work into what I don't have extra time to figure out how to improve what I'm doing. And so I think like there's a limited lifespan to how effective a unicorn in any given industry is going to be, unless they're, unless they're super magical, right? Like a super unit, like a unicorn Pegasus, right?
Yeah. Well, to increase my list of drawbacks, you know, I think that unicorns come with some negative traits too. And maybe this is not you, Joel, but
probably is. Like,
I think if you have one of those positions where you're kind of a generalist for digital marketing and you're responsible for all of these different buckets of measurement and production and research, and you're doing all of those well, you know, usually that means you're underemployed, right? And that you're going to be frustrated with other people that don't move at your pace, that don't have the respect for the information and the knowledge and the ability that you bring to the table. You know, you're probably in a position class that is not totally indicative of the actual skill that you're taking on and that the work that you're producing all the time. And so that tends to lead to grumpy employees too. High drama, frustration, exhaustion. Like, those are all real things that we experience with a lot of unicorns. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was, how does someone become a unicorn? And oftentimes it's people that are vulnerable to exploitation. So you look at people that for one reason or another haven't been picked for management or director level positions. And that might be people that fall on the LGBTQA spectrum, or they might be people of color. You often see people that have needs at home so that they can't take on higher level positions of management. So they might have a family that they're taking care of, or any other kind of like heavy level life stuff. That just means that we're looking at a broad range of underserved folks that operate in these generalist positions and do so efficiently and do so at a high caliber, because life would otherwise give them better opportunities, except for the fact that they have something holding them back. And do you want to be the kind of institution that takes advantage of that?
Right. And a big part of that is those people make themselves indispensable in these unicorn roles to the point where they will never be considered for that promotion to management or anything else. So it's kind of a cementing. And to no fault of their own, like, I mean, this is organizational's, this is the responsibility of management, it's the responsibility of organizational structure, HR, all of that. But through no real fault of their own, other than being amazing at what they do, they're cementing that place kind of in the middle, because they work in an organization that's not going to recognize the value of that level of proficiency at a management level. They need to keep you locked in where you are at, because if you leave, everything falls apart. And that's, you know, that's a, I mean, this is more encouragement that people shouldn't be unicorns at all. Not that people shouldn't hire unicorns. I think it's that reassess if you want to be a unicorn, because I think the hardest thing for those of us that are proficient in a lot of stuff is focusing on one thing and keeping secret some of those other things that we're really, really good at, you know, and gaming it, because we want to, you know, I think part of it's we want the attention, we want the control. Maybe that's not for everyone, but me, I want the control. I always want the control.
Well, and the last thing that I was going to say is that I think one of the tricky parts about being a unicorn is if you have such a broad set of skills, all of your professional development, all of the conferences you go to, all of the workshops you take are devoted to maintaining that broad set of skills. But that rules you out for the professional development you need in management training, that you need in finance, in order to level up and be eligible for those promotions that take you to a different spot in your career.
Thank you so much for listening to Appendix B. If you've got thoughts, we'd love to hear them on Apple Podcasts or on social. Quick question for you. Are you wondering what to do with your leftover budget? What about something that will make your office look good as you move into the new fiscal year? We'll help you audit your website's content, technical performance, or SEO. We'll help you look at how well your marketing team's configured to meet your goals. Or what about some insight into how well your messaging and program offerings compete with similar institutions? Learn more at bravery.co/services. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.